The biggest games.
Recce for three, got it to go.
The most compelling stories.
Three of the former players and sons were on this particular Monroe team.
The area's best high school sports coverage.
Throws it down with two hands, the whole hoop is shaking.
That's a 10. That's a 10, baby.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Here with me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrow. Dennis, our last show of this year. Track just finished up last weekend. And now, instead of doing our top 10 games like we did last year, this year we decided to do things a little bit different and take fans through all of the great moments that we saw here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania.
Yeah, it's started out with football, and actually we still have a couple things left to go because lacrosse is on Saturday, first ever WIA state championship in Middleton and Neenah for the guys, so we got a local team there. And then next week, baseball and soccer wrap it all up.
The school year is wrapping up, and that's why we are wrapping up this year of Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. And for over 50 years, Zimbrick Honda's provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles. The trusted staff of Zimbrick Honda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress by finding the vehicle that matches your style. If you're in the market for a new Honda or a used Honda, visit Zimbrick Honda in Madison today or online at ZimbrickHonda.com. We're just going to go right into it here, Dennis, with our first moment of the season.
Number 10.
The Muskego Warriors with that game-winning field goal over the Verona Wildcats. This game started off our entire year, really, of games. It was the first week of the football season. Muskego with that 38-35 victory over the Wildcats. And, I mean, it almost kind of spoiled you and I, Dennis, because we were like, oh, is this what every single Friday night is going to be like for us? We had a game-winning 43-yard field goal to seal that victory for Muskego.
Yeah, what made it interesting, too, Jesse Nelson is a Muskego grad,
yeah,
so he always likes Muskego. But Gabe Walden kicked that 43-yard field goal as time ran out. It was his first game-winning field goal, first year kicking, actually. So he gets the start, and he makes the biggest play of the year for them. But that was the coming-out party, as we all knew, for Trey Poteet. He'd scratched the surface as a sophomore, but his junior year last year, he just took off. He ended up with 14 touchdowns. What he threw for a touchdown, caught a touchdown pass, returned kicks, interception. I mean, he did a little bit of everything, and I think that's going to be a great senior year. He's poised. He's one of the top recruits. We'll find out where he goes this summer. Hopefully he stays in Cardinal and White, but we'll see.
Yeah, there's a team down south in Orange and White and the Tennessee Volunteers that I think will have something to say. We'll be talking to Trey in just a couple of moments here about that game. But, you know, back to this game, Dennis. Verona had a lead going into the locker room. They were up 21-13 in this game on Muskego. Muskego, this powerhouse program where Verona has been one of those teams, they've been very good over the years, but just never really been able to break through. And you were feeling like kind of at halftime, like maybe this is the time where Verona's finally going to break through, get that big win, just propel themselves all the way into Camp Randall with this huge win week one. But the second half happened, and Muskego ended up outscoring Verona 25-15 in that second half to come away with that victory, as we're now joined by one of the players who played in this game, Trey Poteet of the Verona Wildcats. Trey had a 90-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, an interception, as well as a receiving touchdown in that game. So, Trey, thank you for joining us, and you had a pretty good outing. I know the result wasn't what you were hoping for in that week one game against Muskego.
That week one was probably one of my favorite games of the year. Getting to see Muskego again, it's always good to see them, and they kind of changed it up against us week one and threw a little, so it kind of surprised us. But overall, good game. Not the way we wanted to end, but it was still good.
Well, that had to be kind of nice for you, though, being that you play cornerback. Normally, teams are probably going to try and run or maybe not throw your way, but Muskego changing it up had to be nice to see the ball in the air for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love to see some pass in action. They mix it in with a little run, and our defense was thriving as a whole.
Muskego kicked a 43-yard field goal to win that game. You know, normally at the high school level, you're feeling like, okay, the team's about the 30-ish yard line. Like, you're feeling pretty good as a defense, I have to imagine, that, okay, they probably won't get this field goal. Was that the conversation you guys were having going to the sideline when you forced them into that field goal late?
Yeah, honestly, before that, I told my coach, I said, Coach, I got you in overtime. And was sad to see that field goal go through.
Thank you again, Trey, and good luck with everything from the recruiting to your senior year of football.
Thank you.
And you can catch our full interview with Trey back on Wisconsin On Demand. Dennis, let's move ahead on our countdown of the top 10 moments from Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania from the last year. As Muskego and Verona kicked off our football season, this next one, it kicked off our basketball season.
Number 9.
And that was the 608 tournament at Madison College to get our basketball season really off and going. This was such a great event that Bill Kegler puts on up at Madison College. We always see great basketball, and it didn't disappoint again this year.
No, it's the third year they hosted it. It was the best, and I think 2024 will be even better. Bill does a great job with the staff. I think it seats about 1,000 there, trying to fill that place and make it a really good tournament-type atmosphere. And that for Con Canepo, who came in, a Duke recruit, came in as one of the leading candidates for Mr. Basketball. His coach, Walls, said that that was kind of a turning point tournament for him because he really elevated his game, made his teammates better, and we saw that in the state championship game against Pewaukee, what he was able to do, not just scoring, but he just seems to be on a different plane than everybody else. Mm-hmm. But we saw some great players there, the Oshkosh North, and we had Wanakee, which always good program. Stoughton, Ty Fernholz,
yep,
had a great senior year. Bill brings some great teams in. I know the Middleton Cardinals are going to be we'll have a local team in it this next year. December 13th and 14th is the one coming up here. And they've been actually putting stuff on social media just about every week, which is great because we really want to have a great atmosphere. And the coaches and the players I've talked to have said they treat them better than most state tournaments do. Mm-hmm. They put them up in a hotel and the food, and it's great. And we had an all-tournament team. They get trophies. And they see some great competition. And the facility, Madison College, is outstanding. So it's a great place for it.
You know, you mentioned the top recruits, Xavion Mitchell from Oshkosh North. We saw Oshkosh North get a tight victory over the Stoughton Vikings, a double overtime thriller. You and I just kept on getting great games all season long.
86-84.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to get a first 100-point game. We had to wait till later in the season to get that.
But then you and Alex Strofe ended up having the first games of the tournament, and well as then the championship and consolation games in those. And we also, along with Con Canepo, saw a future Badger, Jack Robeson, from Lakeville North High School, coming over from Minnesota. He's going to be here in Madison this next year. And, you know, you're always, whenever you get those two D1 recruits just going head-to-head, like we saw here at the state tournament when it was Con and going up against Nick Janowski. Same thing with this game between Wisconsin Lutheran and Lakeville North. It just added some extra juice into that game, and it really showed the level of high-quality basketball that's just around in the area.
It did, and if people want to know what a five-star player looks like, you saw Con. Robson's a pretty good player. But I'll tell you, we also had Onalaska's Evan Anderson, who's at South Dakota, and Stevie Clark, who's going to Colgate, mm-hmm, from Oshkosh North, along with Fernholz at Michigan Tech. So every year there's some great players. But that was a good matchup of, it was interesting. The whole coaching staff for the Badgers were there,
yeah,
their first one, including a couple of the players and a couple of the Middleton players. And it was just, again, a great atmosphere for basketball.
Yep, it really was. And, you know, speaking of great high school players who we expect to go on to great things, our number eight moment from Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania from the last year, a player who ended up moving on from the prep level and is doing great things in the NBA.
Number eight.
That's Tyrese Haliburton becoming a superstar, our number eight moment from this past year. We decided to go a little bit of a different route here at number eight with Tyrese Haliburton because he went from just being this, an Oshkosh guy, a Wisconsin guy, going and playing well at Iowa State, being a good college basketball player. Oh, yeah, that's a cool story. You know, he ends up getting drafted by the Sacramento Kings with the 12th overall pick. You're like, okay, this is cool. This is fun. A lottery guy. And then all of a sudden, the last 2 years, he just took off. 2023 and 2024, two-time NBA All-Star. He was also All-NBA third team this last year with it, and he led the NBA in assists.
Think about it. He was the same senior the same year that Tyler Hero, who played at Whitnall and went on and went pro. Neither one, though, Mr. Basketball. You know who Mr. Basketball was?
No, I don't remember.
Jordan McCabe of Kaukauna.
Oh, that's right.
Went on to play at West Virginia and UNLV. So here you go. Halliburton's a two-time All-Star right now. I drafted him in a fantasy league that first year. I got him in like the fourth or fifth round. Now he's he went number two last year. I'm not going to see him again. He is just phenomenal. And they're playing for the Pacers. Unfortunately, they knocked their bucks out of the playoffs. But you look at in high school, he led the Spartans to the 2018 title. He had 30 points in the championship game. And he had 42 against Kaukauna. That year, Kaukauna won the Division II title. So you're looking at a guy that had some good, you know, hops, and you're thinking, okay, is this a major D1? He was a three-star. He didn't really get a lot of respect. So he ends up at Iowa State, who's done a great job recruiting out of the state of Wisconsin. And then he only stayed there 2 years before he jumped to the pros. So his ascension to superstar status is incredible. It also speaks for the players and the coaches in the state of Wisconsin that we keep turning out players that are playing in the, look what Hero's done.
Yeah.
For example, that's phenomenal. And to know that Wisconsin didn't get him because of how the recruiting game works out. By the time when Hero actually, dropped the Badgers, Haliburton was already committed to Iowa State at that point. So he was like next on the list. So amazing what he might have been able to do in Cardinal and White here. But it's fun to watch him out at the next level. And every time they say, and he's from Oshkosh, everybody up there's got a lot of pride.
Oh, I grew up just near there, have a ton of pride, called one of his games at the varsity level in a rivalry game against Oshkosh West. You could tell he was going to be a special player. Didn't realize he was going to be this special of a player with what he's doing in the NBA.
Now that speaks for how much work you have to put in to get to that next level, and he's done it.
Those are our first three moments from Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania from this last season. We still have seven more to go. Coming up next, is there a new title town in the state of Wisconsin? And a couple of powerhouse players going to a powerhouse women's basketball program. All coming up next on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania continues on as we're counting down the top 10 moments from the Prep Mania year. We've already had Muskego's game-winning field goal against Verona kicking off our football season at number 10. Number 9 was the 608 tournament, seeing a bunch of high-level recruits from across really the Midwest with Con Knipple and Jack Robeson, as well as Xavion Mitchell from Oshkosh North. And then number 8, speaking of Oshkosh North, was Tyrese Haliburton, the former Spartan, becoming an NBA superstar. But now we're on to our next moment.
Number 7.
Rob Booker decommitting, then recommitting to the Wisconsin Badgers. So, Dennis, I'm going to take you through the timeline of events on Rob Booker and the saga that was his recruitment and commitments in 2023. January 31st of 2023, Rob Booker committed to the University of Wisconsin. He did then in June make his official visit to the Badgers on June 2nd, but then June 21st, he decommitted from the Badgers to then the next day get an offer from the UCLA Bruins and at the time head coach Chip Kelly. That same day, he recommits to the Bruins on June 22nd. December 20th, though, he decommits from the Bruins to then finally on December 20th sign his letter of intent on signing day and recommit to the Wisconsin Badgers, where he is now enrolled as a Badger from Wanakee. So it was a roller coaster ride for all of us covering Rob Booker and his recruitment and commitment and decommitment and recommitment to the Badgers.
I got a phone call a few days before saying, you ought to show up for Rob's signing. I think you're going to be surprised. And I go, I have a feeling he's going to be coming back to Bucky Land. So Strophy, Alex Strophy and I were there, along with Maddie. We were there to document it. And he came out in a big roar of approval. And, of course, got pictures and the whole works.
Yep.
I think it was Mom wanted him to go one place, Dad wanted him to go to another. It was, do you go away, far away from home, or do you stay close? And then coaching changes and whatever. But he had two touchdown catches in the D2 title game this past year. And a lot of people going, it's too bad that when they went for two, they weren't able to find him. I think Badger defense that play pretty well. But, wow, I mean, watching him, originally he was a basketball player. I thought this guy could be playing because of his size and his athletic ability. And sophomore year, he kind of switched over to football. And once they put him at the tight end spot, it was like the first time I ever saw Jake Ferguson play for Madison Memorial. Yeah, Barry's grandson, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. He had the frame. He had the mental makeup, the physicality. You just go, I'm going to be watching this guy play on Sundays someday. And then Jake ended up at Wisconsin. He was a Badger and had a great career here. Now he's starring, unfortunately, for the Cowboys.
America's team,
for
my
you.
Favorite team.
That's right.
I love it.
Packers are America's team for me, Dallas for you, I know. But, again, for Booker to come here, Rob, and early enroll, that's another thing is I think Wisconsin had 11 early enrollees this year. Used to be one or two. It used to be kind of the exception, and now most of the, we talked to Trey Poteet. He said he's going to early enroll wherever he goes. A lot of athletes are giving up that second semester.
Yep.
And I understand if you're ready physically for it. The linemen, sometimes I think, guys, you're going to step in with guys 5 years older than you. You're a boy among men. Some of the positions, maybe it's not as physically or as mentally demanding. That's the other thing. But I think Rob was ready for it. He was ready to move on. And Pat Rice, who retired at the end of the season, we'll be talking about Pat shortly. Pat had said that Booker did everything that he needed to do, and Pat had a great program. I mean, you're bringing the guys that go through the Wanakee program are ready for the next level. They don't always have a lot of college guys. And part of it's the family atmosphere. It's tough to go on and play after you play high school. It is a business once you move on. But for Rob to get him, to keep him here, I thought that was huge for Coach Fickell and Wisconsin staff to keep one of the best in the state.
Well, and it kind of silenced some of the critics of Luke Fickell and this current staff who were very critical of them for not getting a lot of in-state players to keep their commitments or even to commit to the Badgers. But it's really kind of indicative of what college football has become when it comes to these coaching changes. You have guys where Chip Kelly was recruiting Rob all the way through high school. He had this relationship with him before at one time, and then all of a sudden a new coaching staff comes into the school that he committed to in Wisconsin. And he's like, I don't really know these guys. I don't have a relationship with them, so I'm going to go to the school where I have a relationship already. And then as he got to know Coach Fickell and Coach Longo and the entire offensive staff there, he's like, okay, Madison is where I belong. That's where I want to be. I'm going to just come down from Wanakee and go and play at Camp Randall and be a star, hopefully.
Well, and that gets to it, Coach Fickell and his staff did not give up. Yep. Once that goes, you got that relationship, you never know. And it's happened again here this spring with some recruits that they weren't sure if they were going to get. And just because of the atmosphere here in the Madison campus, and there's so much. Yeah, it gets cold in the wintertime, but this is a great – this is College Town USA. And Rob knows it being close, and now his family, friends, the Wanakee alum, there are going to be a lot of season tickets purchased, hopefully, just to see, again, local guys. And every year when I work on Badger games and I see 15, 16, 17 guys with Wisconsin or Madison area ties on it, you know, that's at home growing. Yep. And that's starting to go away again because of the NIL money out there. And it's awful tough for these kids to be able to stay. You talk about loyalty. And here's one where Coach Fickell and his staff did a great job.
You mentioned that Madison is College Town USA. Another community, though, might be the new title town.
Number six.
Middleton Cardinals. I'm calling it, Dennis, the new title town in Wisconsin. Back in the fall, in a seven-day stretch, boys soccer, boys volleyball, and girls swimming all won state titles. Then in the winter, boys swimming followed it up with another state championship. And tomorrow, just up the road in Sun Prairie, boys lacrosse playing for a state championship as well. Middleton's the new title town in Wisconsin. I'm just going to say it. With having those four, potentially five state titles, I mean, there's communities, Dennis, that you win one state title, you get a big sign outside of your town saying 2012 boys track and field state champions, and it stays up there forever. And Middleton, they've already done it four times.
Wanakee might argue a little bit. There is a sign going into Wanakee with all the titles that their different teams have won. And, of course, football was seven. That's a biggie right there. But for soccer, it was their first since 2004 and the first ever for volleyball. And what made those two interesting is they came within a half hour of each other. Mm-hmm. You had to split your student body, your fans, your parents. Boy, if you had somebody on – a kid on either team, how do you miss a state title? Which one do you pick? And then swimming was a repeat, and they're going for a three-peat this year, and as young as they were last year. And now this year is the first year the WIA is sponsoring boys and girls lacrosse. And on Tuesday/Wednesday, because of delays, Middleton knocked off unbeaten and number one ranked Wanakee to get a chance to make a title number five.
Oh, so they knocked off the team that you said from the school that you thought maybe would have an argument for the title.
Okay. Town,
right? Okay, I'm just making sure that I have that right.
And of course, we have to spoiler alert, you live in Middleton and I live in Cross Plains.
I might be a little biased.
So, yeah, we might be a little bit, but congrats to the coaches. It's also the largest high school in the state now. There are some expectations about that too. The big dog has got to win, but congrats to all the coaches and the athletes. It's been a great year. And what made the girls swimming thing also, that title, interesting, they were the first girls swim team to win a state meet without winning a single event. No first place finishes.
Which, that's impressive, because the way that swimming works is, I was a swimmer in high school. Yeah, it's you get more points for the higher up you finish. Yeah. So you still, in order to do that, you need people finishing second, third, and a bunch of them, and you get double the number of points for winning relays. So instead of the 16 points that you get for an individual, it'd be 32 points for a first place.
And all three relays placed, and their 200 free was second.
Yep.
So that was a major accomplishment. Now that, when you talk about some sports, an individual or a part of the team was more responsible. No, this was a total team effort for swimming. Every girl that swam that day contributed to that state title.
From one powerhouse program in Middleton up to the college level of another powerhouse program.
Number five.
The Iowa Hawkeyes getting a pair of local recruits from girls basketball going into the women's basketball program of the Iowa Hawkeyes as Tegan Mullaney and Taylor Stremlow, both committing to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Tegan Mullaney from McFarland, Taylor Stremlow from the Verona Wildcats. Dennis, it's always fun when we have these area athletes who commit to Division I programs, but then to have two of them going to arguably, I mean, the best women's basketball program in the Big Ten, but one of the best women's basketball programs in the entire country in the Iowa Hawkeyes. It was so fun watching those two all season long, following their games. We even got to call one of their games when they played each other in a non-conference battle that Verona won 67-55.
Yeah, you look at Taylor Stremlow, Associated Press, and WBCA Division I All-State. Tegan was AP and WBCA Division II All-State. Wow. I mean, and they played together growing up.
Yep.
And both have commented about how they were looking forward to playing, after playing against each other this year, when Verona really coming on strong down the stretch and had a great finish to hold off McFarland. But you look at just the records they put up. Taylor led Verona to a 79-14 record. And Tegan led McFarland to 75-22 winners. And academically, they're outstanding as well. I think academically, I think Stremlow was in the academic all-state team. And I know Mulaney also got academic all-state honors. So they were the perfect package. Now they're going to Iowa again. Now and the Iowa coach retires, but right away they hire the assistant, within a half hour. And both women said, no, that's where we're going. That's where we want to go. So I'm sure last year when Caitlin Clark came to town, there were 12,000 people in the Kohl Center. When Iowa comes to town again, and Wisconsin has beaten Iowa in women's basketball in like decades. So you can't blame them for going to a great program, but they've been recruited since they were freshmen.
Yep.
And I know Stremlow had an injury issue early in her career, but she really came on. I thought she was an outstanding guard. And Tegan will be interesting at 6 foot where she's going to play at the next level. But they're both great student athletes, great families. And, yes, I did cover both of their mothers in high school.
Does that make you feel a little old?
Yes. But I'm very proud because the dads were good as well. So great families and great student-athletes. They represented Verona and McFarland well. And, unfortunately, they will not get to play in the WBCA All-Star Games this summer because they'll be in college campus.
Yep.
Most D1 athletes now, they have to report either today or tomorrow, or I think by Monday the summer school starts for Wisconsin. So that's kind of a shame that they can't get that other experience. But two of the best, and we wish them well.
Dennis, you mentioned the Iowa Hawkeyes losing their legendary head coach this year. Coming up next on Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania, we talk about two other legendary head coaches hanging it up after incredible careers. This is Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania continues on as I'm Hunter Vaughn, here with me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Summerow, and we're counting down the top 10 moments of the Zimbraconda Prep Mania year as we have the Muskego game-winning field goal over Verona to start our football season and kick off our top 10 list at number 10. Number 9 was the 608 basketball tournament up at Madison College. Number 8, Tyrese Halliburton from Oshkosh North becoming an NBA superstar this year. And Rob Booker decommitting from Wisconsin, then recommitting to the Badgers as number 7. Our number 6 moment of the year, the Middleton Cardinals winning 3 state titles in a 7-day span. And then the boys swimming adding a 4th title on the year at number 6. Number 5, Iowa women's basketball commitments from Tegan Mulaney and Taylor Stremlow, two area girls basketball players going to the women's basketball powerhouse that is the Iowa Hawkeyes, was number 5. And now,
number 4.
Our number 4 moment, the legendary head coach of the Wanakee Warriors, Pat Rice, retiring after a storied career. Dennis, I know you've got the list in front of you of just all of the accolades that Pat Rice has accrued over his long and storied career with the Wanakee Warriors.
We could talk 10 minutes just on accomplishments there, but in a nutshell, Wanakee won 7 state titles, and he only had 44 losses in his whole career. Sixth winningest coach in Wisconsin history. Winning percentage of 88.6 ranks first all time. Ohwanakee had a 48-game winning streak, which at that time was the state record, but it's been broken since. They did not lose a home game from 1998 till 2014, a 16-year streak. And he's also Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame member, went in with his good buddy Dave Richardson, who's retired a couple years ago from Verona. So Pat's put up some big numbers. Unfortunately, his first four games were losses, mm-hmm. and his last one was a loss. Unfortunately, the last one, they went up against the Lake Geneva team that was just a buzzsaw, and they couldn't stop them offensively. That flexbone triple option, you really have to have a lot more prep time than they had for that. And Badger just was dominant. So when Wanakee got a touchdown late, they had to go for two, and Badger came up with the defensive play of the game to stop them. So ends up a 34-33 loss. A lot of us thought maybe Pat will come back for one more, but he's retiring as a teacher, and he believes that if you're not in the classroom, you shouldn't be the head coach. So it's the time to move on. He had a great career as a teacher and also running the weight room. And a lot of people don't realize when he started out, he was a baseball coach too.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned that Pat said that about how he wanted to be in the classroom as a coach. We've been doing a new coaches series this spring here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania, and all of them have said the same thing. It's really become the trend now to get back to for these schools. They want their coaches in the building with the students to see them in a different light.
Yeah, that's when I was growing up, that was it. You couldn't be a coach unless you were a teacher. Now it's been getting tougher with more sports. And a lot of teachers, you know, have gotten taken a bad rap over the years. And they're like, well, why should I give more time of mine to the school district if they're not going to either pay me or I'm going to have to do some battles? So it's tough. And then with families and that, so it's tough to find people that really want to coach. And when you get a dedicated coach like Pat is, you want to make sure you hang on to him. So he's had a great career. It's been my honor. I mean, one of the highlights, I think, when he got his 250th win, I got a picture with him. And I figured he'd still be going on for a lot longer than mm-hmm. he did. But I got to cover all seven of his, first as a reporter for the Cap Times, then with the State Journal, and the last few years with ESPN Madison. So I've seen him in a lot of different areas. We've had a lot of great conversations. His dad, Bill, who was the head of the president of the football coaches when I started, was one of my mentors, and Pat is a chip off the old block.
And we go from one legendary coach to another that retired.
Number three.
As Dave Poles of the Lodi Blue Devils retiring after winning his second state title at Camp Randall this fall, as Dave Poles retired with a 174-48 record. But really, more importantly, Dennis, he came away with that 38-14 win over Luxembourg Casco to win his second state title. And the moment that, you know, you and I both remember as we were on the call for that game was him at midfield hugging his son Brady over on the Motion W after winning the second state title in Brady's final game as a high school athlete, as he then is going to be going on to play college ball up at UW-Eau Claire.
Yeah, Brady almost died in a car accident a couple years ago. So for the fact he was even out there playing was amazing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, starting with Mason Lane, their quarterback, who's a preferred walk-on here at Wisconsin now, there were six guys that were ball boys when they won their previous title back in 17. Now here they are 6 years later getting to come down the tunnel as players, and then they have the perfect season, 14-0. They won every game by at least two scores. They beat the defending Division IV champion Columbus Cardinals 28-0, pretty much dominated them. And their only tough one, I think, really was early in the year with Lakeside Lutheran, a very good program. Kind of was a wake-up call. We got to have our A game. Everybody's going to have their A game against them. And for Dave, who is retired as a coach but will still be a teacher, not a physical education, he's a special education teacher at Lodi, and Kyle Mack now, one of his assistants, has taken over. He's in the classroom right next to him, so I think it's going to be a great transition. Unfortunately for the Blue Devils, all their senior starters were seniors.
Yeah.
So a lot of those underclassmen got reps on special teams, and they're going to have to step up big time to keep that program going.
Well, and Dennis, you know, you mentioned that win over Columbus for the Lodi Blue Devils. That was really the moment, I think, that the entire state that covers high school football really took notice of this Lodi squad, as that was the win that they had back on September 29th. And you said they beat them 28-0. Columbus, we were expecting them to be on a collision course with Catholic Memorial for that Division IV title. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, maybe this is a year that Lodi gets back to Camp Randall. And sure enough, that was kind of that win that just was like, okay, we're doing this thing. We're going to make this run all the way to winning that gold ball in Dave's last game.
Well, you look at the Capital Conference, Lakeside Lutheran, Lake Mills, Columbus, and Lodi. I mean, the best teams not only in the conference but in the division. That's very competitive. So whoever came out of that, and that Columbus-Lodi game I thought was going to be the telltale sign, and they just Lodi, the Blue Devils, just dominated. So they ran, amassed almost 500 yards of offense, did not punt once in the title game. That shows you how dominant. And they got that early pass to kind of say, okay, we can beat you over the top or we can beat you running through the middle. And that was a great game to call. But again, the emotional, the father-son. And now Dave's still going to be a teacher in the district, but be able to watch his son and that whole group of seniors. You know, when you coach your kid, all those other guys that or girls, depending on if it's a son or daughter, they're like your adopted children because you spend so much time with them. And so for Dave, that was very emotional to be able to end it there with his extended family besides his own family.
And, you know, this moment being number three on our top 10 ranking of the top moments from this past year, I mean, really – between this and Pat Rice just retiring was a very tough one for us to figure out. Okay, do we go number three? Do we go number four? Where do we want to put it? But
championship
going home, that championship trophy really kind of put it over the top for us in deciding where we wanted to put it. And speaking of those championship trophies, we're going to be talking about some more of them as we finish up our top 10 rankings with moments number two and our number one moment of the Zimbrick Honda Prep Mania season right here on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania wrapping up. I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrow. Dennis, we're on to moments number two and number one. So let's just get right into it.
Number two.
The Edgewood Crusaders girls basketball team winning a state title. Dennis, this was an Edgewood team. They rolled through the regional that we covered. They had a 66-25 victory over the 7-seed Bigfoot, and then these 2-seeded Crusaders with a 58-39 win over the 3-seed Prairie du Chien. And then they followed it up in sectionals. They had a 22-point victory over the 1-seed Edgerton to win their sectional, or to get to the sectional final.
Their bracket of it.
Yep, their bracket. And then they ended up with a 15-point victory to win their sectional over another 1-seed in the Waupun Warriors. They just rolled all the way to state, but then that state title game, they trailed by 8 points in coming out of the first half.
Yeah, 8 points, 14 minutes to go, too, as they got into it. But they had a 10-0 run down the stretch, and freshman Anna Miller was just outstanding. She had 18 of her 20 points in the second half. She did not play like a freshman. We saw her in the regional semis and finals, and she has the poise of a senior, and she's only going to get better. So she'll be a good recruit. Maren Schmatzer, whose dad just took over as the head coach of the boys program at Edgewood. She's a 6'2 junior forward. She had 8 rebounds and 4 block shots. Lily Moscow had a great game. And Beanie Thompson, that was our favorite one to call. She had a great regional, and she had 7 points and 8 rebounds off the bench. So it was great. During the season, they were down by 15 when they played Laconia, who ended up winning the D4 title, came back and won that game by a point. And that game was kind of a turning point of, we did it, we can do it again kind of a thing. And Coach Stav, she was pretty stressed in 16 and 17 when they were at state. But she's pretty calm. She's coached there for 31 years. Now she got her second title. And I think afterwards, watching on the video, Jeff Gifford, one of her assistants, ran over to give her a hug, and she's like stunned. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my, what did we just do? And it was a phenomenal from the beginning to the end. They finished up 27-3, played a very tough schedule, and very proud of the Crusaders. Again, my son's an Edgewood grad, so he's like, Dad, you got to say something nice about the Crusaders. I said, no problem. They earned it.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And, you know, going back to that state championship game over Xavier, you know, I said they were down by 8 at the half. Total in the game of that state championship, Edgewood only led for 3 minutes and 10 seconds of the game. Like, it's crazy how often that happens in state championship games. I mean, we're going to talk about another one of them at the semifinal level here in a little bit. But it, Dennis, what is it about state where we see this happen? Teams lead for like 30 minutes of the game, but then just those last couple of minutes, the other team just finally figures it out and goes away with the win.
As they say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And some teams just have that extra edge. Maybe it's senior leadership. Maybe the other team gets in foul trouble or whatever. But 55-52 win, you know, that was their second title. They won it in 2017. And coming in, Waupun was the team to beat. And they'd been ranked number one. They were on the other side of the bracket. So, but again, Edgewood had a little chip on their shoulder because they played a tougher schedule than Edgerton. And Edgerton got the one seed in their bracket, and they got a two. So it meant they had to play at Edgerton. And they weren't happy about that.
Yeah.
So I think that helped a little bit. And then they went on to Waupun and pretty much dismantled them in the second half. And that's a team that a lot of people thought was going to be the state champion eventually. So when they got to state, then it was like, okay, we belong here. Let's just finish the job. And again, 31 years, Coach Stav has done a wonderful job. She's done a lot of AAU coaching. So there's not just her program, but she's impacted a lot of young women throughout southern Wisconsin coaching these travel teams. And she's one of the best, which is why she's in the Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah, I loved we did a Edgewood Lake Mills football game back in the fall, and that was over at Bree Stevens Field. And Coach Stav works up in the press box and works with the scoreboard there. And I remember we were having a conversation with her about just year-round coaching and the development of the game. And she's one of those people where if you can get her talking about basketball, she is going to talk the entire night about it. And I mean that in the best way possible, because she's so passionate about the game and she cares so much about it and the development of players and just to make women's and girls basketball the best that it can be. You know, you mentioned something, Dennis, about this team having a chip on their shoulder because they got that two seed. And that's a conversation we've been having when it comes to basketball, because it's computer seeded now for both the boys and the girls. And we've seen this a couple of times where some of these teams, they get a two or a three seed. And, you know, if maybe people with eyes are actually seeding it, they're probably actually putting them as a one seed.
Yeah. And Stav, again, as we talked earlier in the show about coaches in the building and being teachers first. She's been a teacher there for 3 decades and impacted a lot of people positively. So it was a great year for Coach Stav and the Crusaders. Now they got to come back and defend their title. They had a lot of underclassmen last mm-hmm. year. So, but as we talked about with Lodi, when you're running the table and you're on your way to a title, you get everybody's A game, so you better be ready. If you slip up, somebody's going to take you down. So now next year they will have the target on the back, and we'll see. But let's take them one at a time.
We're down to our final moment.
Number one.
And of course, Dennis, it has to be the boys state basketball tournament and all of the thrilling games that we saw that entire weekend. I mean, we had 5 games that ended up going down to the wire, and it, for me, I know which game I'm partial to. It was that 4-overtime thriller that I was on the call with Steve Collins. The longest game in state basketball history between Arrowhead and Neenah, that Arrowhead ended up winning 99-95 in that game. But the entire weekend, I honestly think it's one of the best boys state basketball tournaments that we've had in at least the last 10 years.
Yeah, I've covered the tournament since the 80s, and that's by far from beginning to end it was. And you had Mineral Point in Division 4 down 7-2 Aquinas in the last minute, coming back and doing everything they had to get that win, and then getting a contested or a layup right at the end, put back basket by Drew Eshelman, just seconds left, and a 65-64 win over Canosa St. Joseph, who the year before had the all-time leading score mm-hmm. in a state tournament game. So that was a powerful team that they took down. But, yeah, I look at the Nicolet and Con Knippel. He made a great defensive play that gave him a chance to win that game at the end of the game. But you go four overtimes. And unfortunately for Arrowhead, who won the game, their best player, Bennett Bashitz, was hurt in that game. He ended up at the emergency room, possible concussion. But I was told between he and his mom, you're going to have to drag him off the court. He was going to play in the championship game.
Yep.
So he was just a little bit off, but Marquette was just a little bit better that night. But four overtimes, it's too bad that couldn't have been in the championship Saturday.
Yeah.
Because the three games we had in the afternoon were great. The two Saturday night were a little bit climactic, but people saw Con Knippel in the Division II. Wisconsin Lutheran went over Pewaukee. That was Mr. Basketball right there.
Yeah, Con Knippel definitely showed in that weekend why he was Mr. Basketball in the state with his performance at the Kohl Center for those championships. It was such a great weekend, such great basketball, and that four overtime game is the reason why I'm going to go to my grave, I think, saying that the Division I and Division II semifinals should be played on Thursday night. You give them a night off in between then for Friday, and then they play the championship on Saturday, because I firmly believe that if Arrowhead had a night off in between to rest and get ready for Marquette, I think we get a much closer game. Nolan Minasali was the best player on the floor that night, but I think it would have been a much better, more entertaining game for fans. So I'm going to go to my grave with that. I know it's such a minor thing, Dennis, but that's my only critique of the state tournament from this past year. So that does it for our top 10 moments from the Prep Mania season, as the boys basketball tournament and all those thrilling games with our number one moment of the year. Dennis, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I want you to now reflect back on this entire year that we've gone through, all of the top moments, the retiring of Dave Poles and Pat Rice, that game-winning field goal to kick off this entire season with Muskego over Verona, and just what did you think of this year of Zimbraconda's Prep Mania?
2020 is over. The pandemic is done. We're getting people back into the gyms. Maybe not quite as much at state as there were in the past. It's getting tougher. It's getting more expensive to go to games. Trust that. But we had a lot of great student athletes throughout the year in the classroom as well as on the court. One of the best things the WIA does is honor scholar athletes, mm-hmm. 16 boys, 16 girls in four divisions. That is the Heisman Trophy of high school sports in our state. And for those 32 athletes, that was one of the points we didn't talk about here, but I think that's something to think about. Again, it was a great year starting out with that first football game we had,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately the local team lost a last-second field goal, but we got to see Trey Poteet. We didn't even talk about the 105-101, regional final game
yep.
between Sun Prairie East and
Verona.
Sun Prairie East and Verona. Yeah, right. Trey played, and that is his last basketball game because early enroll next year. But no, we got off to a good one with football, and then with basketball, great year.
It was indeed a great year. Thank you so much for joining me on the ride this year, Dennis. I'm Hunter Vaughn for Dennis Summerow. Thank you for tuning in to Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania. We'll be back in the fall with more football, more student athletes telling all of the stories from the area on Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania. For more than 50 years, Zimbraconda's provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles, and the trusted staff of Zimbraconda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress. And you can visit Zimbraconda in Madison today or online at Zimbraconda.com. This has been Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison.